Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's episode of Irate Tireless Minority, and it's entitled Hypocrisy and Haters. Because this week with the Republican conventions and Black Lives Matter and the attacks on Nice and other Islamic attacks, you know, you just have to take a step back and start looking at what people are really saying. And I have, unlike many people, I do not block or unfriend those who disagree with me on social media. Because if I did that, first of all, I'd have to block and unfriend more than half my family that's on there. And second of all, I would be living in an echo chamber. I would know what my side is saying, but I would not hear the other points of view. But watching those other points of view over this last week has just been mind-boggling, as the left runs to find something they can latch onto as a cause, because that's what they've been doing, and I'll address some of that a little bit later in the show. The disconnect with reality is becoming ever, ever greater. But I'm going to start out, for all you Sanders supporters, politics, socialism is turning its followers into international travelers. Isn't that a good thing? Travel the world, broaden your view of life. International travelers. Why? Because approximately 100,000 of the citizens of Venezuela have been forced to travel to Colombia in order to buy food. And you see, Venezuela had earlier clamped down on the borders. They'd closed the borders because they said Colombians were coming over and buying their state-subsidized goods, groceries and fuel and stuff, at the lower prices, and then taking them back to Colombia and selling them to make a profit. Why, you ask? Because profit is the point of business. And one needs to make a profit, either by selling one's time or one's talents or by making a business to bring you money. And when the opportunity is there, it will be taken advantage of. That's the way the world works. That's the way people works. And even if the whole world was socialist, the world and people would still work that way. So it was the second weekend in a row that some headlines I will tell you say nothing about the numbers. Some of them say 35,000 and some say 123,000 or more. This is more than 100,000 Venezuelans, some of whom drove through the night in caravans, crossed into Colombia over the weekend to hunt for food and medicine that are in short supply at home. The government closed all crossings a year ago to crack down on smuggling, complaining about speculators, but shortages have continued to mount in Venezuela amid triple-digit inflation. Now, we would be seeing you know, like the Zimbabwe currency, you can buy a $100 trillion Zimbabwe note. Zimbabwe had to stop issuing currency because people wouldn't trust it, and they just had to keep going up and up and up and up in the currency valuation. But Venezuela has refused to issue greater currency than what they had, which meant that, as I reported in an earlier show, they are actually out of money to print the money necessary to keep in circulation because their money has been so devalued. And they're saying the crowds were mostly orderly, and Colombian officials estimate 35,000 Venezuelans crossed the border Saturday, the first day of what Colombia's government called the humanitarian corridor. An additional 88,000 entered Sunday as the mad rush on products like sugar and flour led to extra supplies of staple goods being sent from other Colombian cities. And of course, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has sought to deflate talk of a humanitarian crisis and instead blames his government's political enemies and self-serving smugglers for shortages. Dismissed as a media show, the jarring images a few weeks ago of 500 women, mind you, pushing through the border checkpoint saying they were desperate to buy food. And just so you know, this isn't all hype and nonsense. If you go, and that was on, that was on news.com.au, which I believe is out of Australia. If you go to travel.state.gov and look at travel warnings for Venezuela, you will find the Department of State warns U.S. citizens that violent crime in Venezuela is pervasive, both in the capital, Caracas, and throughout the country. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Countrywide shortages of food, water, medicine, electricity, and other basic goods have led to violence and looting. And this replaces the travel warning issued on September 18th of 2015. This is as of July 7th. Armed robberies and street crime take place throughout Caracas and other cities, including areas generally presumed safe and frequented by tourists. Heavily armed criminals are known to use grenades and assault rifles to commit crimes at banks, shopping malls, public transportation stations, and universities. Criminals may take advantage of power outages to target victims when lights and security alarms are non-functional. This is what happens when you don't have, or at least when you don't have an honest police force. This is devolving into anarchy. This is why we have a Second Amendment, folks, so that we can protect ourselves. Because if the left has their way, this is what's coming. Pay attention. Socialism doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Oh, yes, and political, let's see. Political rallies and demonstrations can occur with little notice, expected to occur with greater frequency in the coming months in Caracas and other regions. Long lines to purchase basic goods are common occurrence throughout the country, and there have been reports of unrest and violence while customers wait, sometimes resulting in looted stores and blocked streets. These incidents elicit a strong police and security force response that can include the use of violence against the participants. Several deaths have been reported during such protests. So they can't stop the violent armed criminals who are using grenades to rob banks. But in a line for food, when people get fractious, there you can be killed. I know that's putting too nasty a spin on it. But I'm saying, Black Lives Matter, I don't see you demonstrating in Venezuela. What, brown lives don't matter to you? It's just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And we're going to move on to religion. Ah, yes, the religion of pieces has continued to raise its ugly head after mowing down people with a lorry in Nice, France. Oh, yes, Allahu Akbar, says the man as he's doing that and having a firefight with the police. That's Islam. We've got attacks hither and yon. We've got a young man on a train. Afghan refugee Mohammed Riyad goes on slashing spree on German train with an axe and a knife. young man from Afghanistan, refugee in Germany, placed with a family who treated him, one assumes, well. And yet, he gets onto a train and starts slashing and hacking people. Why? Islam. It's really, really mind-boggling that we still cannot understand the danger we're in from Islam. There is no requirement anywhere that says we have to make ourselves victims of people who have a doctrine that requires they replace our form of government, which means they should not be allowed to hold public office. No Muslim should, because their doctrine requires them to replace the form of government of America with Sharia. It does. Those are the simple facts. That's not my fault. What it is. And you don't get to say, oh, but they don't really mean it, and just ignore that. Although apparently we do. And among, just as a little lighter note, among all the hype over Pokemon Go and people finally getting up and moving around and getting out so that they can catch Pokemon, there are a number of Christian pastors who are saying the Pokemon is demonic. I grant you that. And I've seen an interview with the designer of the original game who said he was rebelling against his Christian parents and that the game is actually quite violent if you read the cards. And I've read the cards, and, you know, even though it's a children's game and they don't show the blood and gore and stuff, if those things actually happened, they would be quite violent and gory in the battles between your little Pokemon, your little pocket monsters. But now we have an imam saying Pokemon Go is un-Islamic. Allah did not create man so that he could have fun. The aim of creation was for mankind to be put to the test through hardship and prayer, which I'm not sure is so far off. I don't know. You'd have to ask God when you get there. An Islamic regime must be serious in every field. There are no jokes in Islam. There's no humor in Islam. There is no fun in Islam. There can be no fun and joy in whatever is serious, says the Ayatollah Khomeini. And in that vein, a Muslim scholar has suggested that Pokemon Go is prohibited by Islam. Abbas Shuman, who's deputy head of the Al-Azhar Islamic Institution, said the game was a harmful mania similar to drinking alcohol. He said the game makes people look like drunkards in the streets and on the roads while their eyes are glued to the mobile screens, leading them to the location of the imaginary Pokemon in hope of catching it. If such a game can deceive youngsters, I do not know where have gone the minds of adults who can be hit by a car while busy searching for Pokemon, which is actually true. They have been. Apparently, the game has led people to chase Pokemon in Auschwitz. Have you lost your minds? Have you no decency? And turn up at the homes of complete strangers. They've also walked off cliffs, by the way. And the game's been used to lure people for armed robbery. Will we find some lunatics walk into mosques, churches, prisons, and military units in search of missing Pokemon? Well, yes, because apparently that's one of the reasons pastors are upset, is because the Pokemon game has designated churches as some sort of stop where you can get something. Now, personally, if I were a pastor, I would say, ooh, is my church on there? People coming in here who want to catch Pokemon. Okay. Let's set up a room specifically for the Pokemon crowd, and they have to listen to a sermon before they can hunt Pokemon here. But that's just me. Might as well make lemonade out of those lemons, folks. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe this, the Pokemon Go is un-Islamic, will make a dent in people's brains who haven't quite grasped that music is haram, and soon to be coming to a place near you will be the insistence that no Muslim people have their photographs taken or be in movies, because making an image of an animate creature is also very, very haram. And they say it's not your fault if somebody else takes your picture. That's on them. But you're not supposed to allow your picture to be taken. People are not supposed to be taking pictures of Muslims. So So hello, entertainment industry. Are you listening, you progressive leftist goobers who are using Islam to promote your agenda in the hopes that you are somehow going to defeat the barbarian horde once you've gotten rid of all the Christians? It's mind-boggling, I tell you, the denial of reality. And now I'm going to go to doing what's right. Over yesterday, during the Republican convention, I was listening to the police scanner for Cleveland for the police who were covering the Black Lives Matter march and other protests. I guess there was a Ku Klux Klan protest at the same time. And, you know, generally I've seen this happen in other places. Generally they try to keep the groups apart, which is only common sense. So I spent a good deal of time listening to the police scanner because once you start it, it gets kind of addictive. It's like watching a show unfold with the plot and you're wondering what's going to happen next. But one of the other things you get from listening to the police scanner is you get a good idea of how hard it is to do the job and the number of pieces that police are trying to keep track of. And the police did a good job from what I heard on the scanner, and I didn't see any real horrible, well, depending on your definition of horrible, nastiness. You know, there was no blood as far as I know, or very little, that the police have to deal with. Really, you expect the police to behave well when you've got tennis balls. Somebody brought four bags, hundreds of tennis balls, to hand them out to protesters. And tennis balls are a forbidden item. They're a forbidden item not only because tennis balls hurt when you throw them at the police, and they're relatively large, so they're going to take up the attention, which means you're making yourself less safe because you're providing cover for anybody who wants to do something bad, you stupid, stupid people. I know I shouldn't call people stupid, but this week has been just the cherry on the top of the cake. But there have also been reports of people using tennis balls to make little bombs. There was a warning a couple weeks back by police out west somewhere, I think Seattle, that people had made little tennis ball fireworks, and so you should be careful not to let your dog pick up any stray tennis balls they might find in the park, because one dog did, and you know, sometimes they would light these supposed fireworks and they wouldn't go off, so they just leave them thinking they're duds, but this unfortunate dog picked one up, it exploded in his mouth, and the dog had to be euthanized. So it's not just tennis balls. You could have hundreds of tennis balls and 10 of the little bomby ones. How much trouble would that make? That's why they were prohibited things, and the police said they refused to give them up. Hello, jerks who brought them. You are stupid. Oh, my gosh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't talk about this because it just makes me so upset to see this stupid. And that's not all. There are also the number of people they're trying to keep track of, the number of things. The tennis balls, they're looking at abandoned bags. They're looking at incongruous groups of people, people who aren't there for the protest but for something else. You got to keep an eye on suspicious behavior, suspicious cars, vehicles, people. You know, sometimes people, they mentioned people had parked their cars in weird places and they're just sitting there. You know, somebody stopped to take a nap. It's perfectly normal behavior, but suspicious in that context. And prohibited items. And there was also, there were also talk about, and I've seen articles about this, that people were going, handing out sacks to people who then took those empty sacks, empty containers, into the porta potties and came out with them full. They confiscated squirt guns full of urine and feces in order to pelt the police with them. Really? Really, Black Lives Matter? I don't know about you, but I think that takes superhuman control on the part of the police not to beat you all up. Because if somebody showered me with urine and poop, I'd be wanting to get some of it back on them. That's the level of discourse you're encouraging, Black Lives Matter? Really? You want us to believe that you are against all racism, but is that true? Or are you just against racism against black people? I have to ask because, like I said, I do not unfriend people on my social media. I just don't. And some of the things I read are just as racist as can be. And I'll comment. I'll say, really, if you switched the words black and white in what you just posted, would it be racist? You might want to think about that. Because it is. And how are you defining black these days? Is it all about melanin? Does somebody have to have come from Africa or have a descendant from Africa? How about somebody who's just very dark-skinned from India? Are they black or are they white? Asians, Hispanics, are they black or white? I myself, I have ancestors. Some were slaves, some were slave owners. Am I black or white? I'll tell you, my skin looks pretty white. How are you defining black? It's all about the melanin, isn't it? You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You're hypocrites. You're not against racism. You're for getting whatever you can get. You know, I also see some posts saying, begging Africa to take back their people, to provide asylum for the African Americans who want to go home. Somebody needs to set up a fund, not just for African Americans, but for socialists and communists who would rather live in a socialist or communist nation. Here's the fund idea. You set it up and you say to people, here's the deal. We will pay for your moving costs to send you to the nation of your choice. Maybe a little bit extra to help you get set up there. And the caveat is, you can never return. If you're a citizen, you give up your citizenship. Renounce it, because that's a one-way ticket. You don't get to reclaim it. And then you will see what it's like to live in a socialist country. And finally, I know I'm just kind of ranting today, and I don't have links on the show page because, quite frankly, the BTR gremlins have kittens when I try to put links in to direct people to the things I've talked about. But, gosh, people, gosh. Finally, in the "my head is going to explode from the stupid" section, Ms. Rodham Clinton is still the DNC candidate of choice. Are you kidding me? Certainly lends credence to what James Carville is quoted as having said about Democrats. And I'm going to read that from Snopes.com because there was a quote that's pretty egregious that they were checking out, and it's undetermined. And I know Snopes.com, owned by progressives. Yes, it is. But even they say it's undetermined. However, at the end, at the very end, it says, however, it says James Carville's people said he never said that. It's falsely posted to an unknown user by an unknown user to a quotations website called thinkexist.com. Contacted them, asked them to take the quote down. James Carville never said these words. No way belongs to James Carville, blah, 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 blah. However, the 2000 book, A Chalice of Miracles by John W. Casperson, quotes Carville without identifying a source in this vein. The Democratic constituency is just like a herd of cows. All you have to do is lay out enough silage and they come running. That's why I became an operative working with Democrats. With Democrats, all you have to do is make a lot of noise, lay out the hay, and be ready to use the old cattle prod in case a few want to bolt the herd. Do you get it, Democrats? And the quote that he was, you know, saying with ideologies aren't important. What's important is psychology, saying that 80% of Democrats don't have a clue as to political reality. Do you get it? Wake up. You are being used and made to look like fools in the bargain. But perhaps that's the plan. To point out at the convention that Ms. Rodham Clinton is just too awful because really? Really? point out that she's just too awful, that she can't win because of her many, many problems, and replace her with just enough time for someone else to bring all the disaffected Sanders voters into the fold and maybe pick up some Never Trumps with a fresh new candidate because they're not Trump or Hillary. Woohoo, they're our savior. Because seriously, people, Hillary Rodham Clinton, a self-confessed traitorous criminal, or a self-confessed criminally incompetent panderer? What are you doing? It's not supposed to be about your side versus our side. We're all supposed to be looking for what is best for America. Did you get that? Have you lost? Have we all lost the purpose of the elections? Oh, my gosh. And if that's not enough, I said I was going to talk a little bit more about the Black Lives Matter hypocrisy and hater stuff. You know, the thing about the leftists, and some of the righties too, is that a lot of people spend a lot of time looking for tiny groups of people that they can safely hate. Well, those people are just awful, and it's okay to say so. It's okay to say so. Oh, the Ku Klux Klan, they're totally awful people. Really, some of them are very loving parents. Nobody is totally awful. Nobody's totally wonderful either. But there is one of my friends on social media posted an opinion piece from the LA Times. One group is responsible for America's culture of violence, and it isn't cops, Black Americans, Muslims, or rednecks. Like those would be the only ones responsible for the culture of violence, not the socialists, not the communists who throughout history have got a death toll bigger than Germany. Well, Germany's part of it, part of their death toll. Yeah, it's all cops, Black Americans, Muslims, and rednecks. Right. You want to know who they say it is? They say it's men. Men are the problem. Let's all hate men. I have always thought, well, not always, but recently I have been thinking that if women ever get in charge of the world, we are going to see a bloodbath like nobody's business. Oh, it'll be a quiet and civilized bloodbath, but it'll be a bloodbath. There is a point to having men. Men are different than women, and we need them to continue the species. Do you understand that? Do you understand that men are supposed to be different? Do you understand, oh, pampered American to the point of stupidity? Do you understand that there are countries who don't like us, that we have enemies? Do you understand that without men to other men, yeah, from other men, I'll go there. But without them, you're sitting ducks. And you, a woman who wrote this article, will be a victim. You will be booty, loot. So I'm going to close because I just had my 90-second warning. If people sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. A quote by Richard Grenier, who was summing up George Orwell, who was summing up a poem by Kipling. With that, we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to, and thanks to the guest who joined me for a short while in the chat room. But my gosh, the world is gone crazy. I don't know what's going on. But we're all supposed to make a difference. Get out there, make a difference, and maybe bit by bit we can bring America back from the brink. Y'all have a great week.